this evening.
Today's something's on my heart tonight, and I want you to help me as we study here a little bit this evening on a subject that everybody here has to deal with. And it's in James chapter number 1. And turn your Bible to James chapter 1, and I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to dig some more scripture here tonight. Amen. James chapter number 1. Let's look at James chapter 1 tonight and verse number 12. And tonight, let's talk about temptation. Temptation. This is something everybody has to deal with and go through. Don't you believe these people that I know some that want to give you the impression that the devil never tempts them. They're never tempted with no kind of wrongdoing. They're deceived. James chapter 1, look at verse 12. James chapter 1, look at verse 12. It said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." That means you want a blessing from God? Resist that temptation, whatever it is the devil's throwing at you. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." By the way, there's why we resist temptation. You resist temptation because you love the Lord. You do it because you love the Lord, not because you're afraid the preacher will find out, not because you're afraid something bad might happen to you. All that might happen, but you do it because you love the Lord. And verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted," obviously, "I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Now, so that's what people think is contradictions in the Bible. Hold your finger there. Because the Bible said God did tempt Abraham. Didn't it? The Bible said God did tempt Abraham. And those people put them new Bibles out, flip out, and go crazy and say, "Oh, well, we all know that's a contradiction, so we put test." You know, tempt and test basically is the same. It can be used in the same light. But he said, "Well, see, God don't tempt nobody." You didn't read your verse right. Look at verse 13. "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." What? With evil. God don't tempt a man with evil. God will test us in that sense, like he did Abraham. But God didn't tempt Abraham to sin. God don't tempt nobody to sin. Here's where that comes from. Verse 14. "But every man," oh my goodness, did your Bible say that? "But every man," did your Bible say that? "Every man." I know somebody, Brother Danny, he walks with God, he's so, every man. And when it says every man, it includes women and children. The Bible's not sexist. When it says mankind, it's talking about everybody. Every man. Got it? Every man. I'm thinking of a lady right now. I love her in the Lord. She's a good, godly lady. I've known her 30 years. And I think, I don't know if she's ever said, "Boy, I was temptation and I had to resist it. And the devil really is working." I've never heard her say that one time. She's either lying or deceiving herself. Because if the devil can't get you tempted to go out and commit some sin, like drinking or cussing or lying or stealing or something immoral, he'll get you proud of how straight and good you are. And that's a temptation. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? As a matter of fact, the Pharisees, their temptation was thinking they was better than other people. And that's a spiritual sin. That's worse than a fleshly sin. And the Lord rebuked that. So there is no man that don't have to deal with temptation. And if somebody says they're never tempted, they've just got used to deceiving themselves and don't even know their own self. You know, you ought to know what your weakness is. The devil does. You ought to know. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I know what mine is. I'm tempted to gossip, or I'm tempted to," and the devil knows your weakness. And thank God, the devil don't tempt you all the time. I'm going to show you that in the Bible in a minute. I don't know how far we'll get, but let's read this. Read this again. Every man is tempted. Every man is tempted. You say, "Boy, I know so-and-so, and they live such a godly life. I'd love to be able to be as right as they are." Well, don't you think they're not tempted, because every man's tempted. Every man's tempted. That should make you feel better, that you ain't the only one. You say, Lord, have mercy, I'm the worst Christian ever was. If everybody knew how wicked I was, nobody'd like me. I'm full of the devil. Every man's tempted. Every man's tempted. When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, of course, lust hath conceived. There's your L. It brings forth sin. There's your S. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. There's your D, LSD, in the Bible. Lust, sin, and death. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. I want you to turn back to the book of Luke, chapter 4. And I want you to notice something very few people notice, but it's true. It's true in the Bible. I know it's true in my life. And I know it's and I've had other people tell me the same thing. But I still wouldn't believe it if I didn't have Bible to back it up. But I do have Bible to back it up. Did you know that the devil will tempt you and tempt you and tempt you and tempt you, and if you resist him, he'll leave you alone? But not forever. He'll be back. He will be back. I've heard people say, glory to God, I got the victory over that devil. Don't have to worry about him no more. That ain't true. You might not have to worry about him for a while, but he'll be back. Now, I'm glad he leaves us for a while. I'm glad. Look at, and it's the way he did Jesus. Look at, Luke chapter 4, verse 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. Jesus was tempted of the devil. Jesus was tempted. Now, we're not going to get into a big theological discussion about whether or not Jesus could have sinned. The answer to that is absolutely not. He couldn't sin. He was God. He didn't have a sin nature. But God allowed him in this flesh to be tempted. When he was talking about that rock turning into bread, his flesh would have wanted that. That wasn't sinful. That wasn't a sinful desire. He had no sinful desires. But the devil did throw a temptation at him. Now, it said he's tempted of the devil. Look at verse 6, the devil said. And Satan talked to him. Look at verse number 13. When he resisted all the temptation. Look at verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, glory to God, for a season. Oh my goodness. That means he's coming back. He left, but just for a while. Now the devil will leave you alone, but you can mark it down. He'll be back. He'll be back. Your old temptation will be back. I know that's true in my life. How many would agree with me tonight? Don't sometimes it seem like the devil is just on your mind around you? I mean, you just think, Lord, have mercy. You can't read, you can't pray, you feel wicked. The devil puts all kind of crazy stuff in your mind and heart, and it's when the Lord was fasting. I had a good friend of mine tell me, he fasted 21 days. He said, I had the most fight with evil, wicked, ungodly thought. You'd think, boy, I'm fasting, ain't no sin can get on me. And that's when he got Jesus. That's when he's after him. He wasn't after him while he's over there eating 5,000. The devil's gone off somewhere. But when he was fasting, and the devil come around him. That's why they say the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the devil. Because the devil hangs around God. He hangs around where God is. And the closer you are to God, the closer you are to Satan's presence. And that's a scary thing. But you might say, well, Brother Danny, the devil's just all over me. I pray and fasting and trying to get right with God. And then one day you wake up and everything's just as clear as a bell and you don't have no evil desires and you can read the Bible and want to shout all day long. The devil leaveth you for a season. I promise you, he'll be back. He will be back. So here's what you can expect. Here's what you can expect in your Christian life. The devil's going to hit you, and then he'll leave you alone for a while, and then he'll come back and he'll hit you, and then he'll leave you alone for a while. I don't know how long that while is. And then he'll hit you, and then leave you alone a while. You can expect that in your Christian life. He said he left him for a season. Now let's talk about that tonight. I know you say, well, Brother Danny, can't you get to the point where the devil don't bother you? Not in this world. Not in this flesh. No such thing. No such thing. If you know somebody that says the devil don't bother them, the devil's got them deceived. If the devil ain't bothering you, you ain't bothering him. You and him's going the same way. The immediately you turn and go opposite them, you're gonna clash. You're gonna clash. Like a good man and a bad man living in the same cage, brother, they're gonna fight. And so this old flesh will resist. Your flesh will resist. Anything of God, the flesh will resist it. And so let's talk about that. This is something that every Christian must go through. And temptation is basically the proposition. Listen to me. Here's what temptation is. A proposition to satisfy a good appetite in a wrong way. The proposition to satisfy a good appetite in a wrong way. Listen. Nothing wrong with eating food, right? So, boy, I want something to eat. All right? Steal it. See? It's a good appetite, but you satisfy it the wrong way. Physical desires, sexual desires. Nothing wrong with that unless you satisfy it the wrong way. See? Making money. Nothing wrong with it unless you satisfy it the wrong way. It's a temptation, a proposition to satisfy a good appetite in the wrong manner. That's what temptation is. And the world's full of it. And the devil knows your weakness, and you got one. I know people that you could put a cold case of beer right here, right there, and they could sit right down here and not even look at it. Wouldn't bother them a bit. I know other people they'd be salivating. Is that the way you say it? Slobbering at the mouth, wanting that beer. And say, I know people that wouldn't want the beer, but when people's talking, they just cannot resist to tell what they know bad about somebody. That just is wicked. Don't everybody get quiet on me. Didn't I preach on that Sunday night? I won't mess around with that tonight. But I'm just saying, anything. Or when you see somebody do something, you take pride in thinking, I'm better than that. I'd never do that. I would never live like that. That's just as wicked. In God's sight, that's just as wicked. Churches are full of spiritual pride and self-righteousness, and that is just as wicked as gambling and cussing, brother. It is. I'm not justifying gambling and cussing. All that's wicked. But spiritual pride is one of the worst kinds of sin a person can have. Spiritual pride is sickening. It's sickening. One of the most disgusting things in the sight of God is people who walk in like, well, here I am. I'm the great so-and-so, and I live holy. That's a sickening, disgusting. That's just like somebody coming in drunk is disgusting. It really is. Somebody come in slobbering drunk just makes you want to throw up. And that's the same way all that sin is to God. Now, some people worry that... I've heard people say, Brother Danny, I'm so wicked. The devil told me. I said, well, are you resisting? He said, yeah, I ain't done nothing like that. And I said, well, don't worry about it then. Temptation ain't sin, right? Yielding to it's sin. Temptation. The devil tempted Jesus, and he didn't sin. Listen, he tempted Jesus with the worst sin, Satan worship. He said, bow down and worship me. You say, Lordy mercy, I wouldn't even think about something like that if I was really saved, would I? You sure would. Because the devil will put stuff like that in your head. As a matter of fact, when you get right with God, I've had people tell me, they say, Brother Danny, when I'm down praying, I think some of the evilest, most ungodly thoughts, blasphemy against God, all kind of stuff. That's temptation. See, that ain't a sin. The sin is yielding to it. The sin is giving in to it. The old preacher said, you can't stop a bird flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. That's right. Do you know that? Yeah, that's true. You can't stop a bird from flying over, but if he starts building a nest in your hair, you can stop that. You can't stop the temptation from coming, but you can stop dwelling on it and acting on it and acting it out. Now, there is a sense in which thoughts are sin. Sometimes thoughts are sin. The Bible said from within, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, thefts, and so forth. Just thinking something can be wrong. But it's when you give in to it and dwell on it and allow it that it becomes sin. If the devil goes think and put something in your head and you plead the blood of Jesus and say, Lord, help me get over that, that's not a sin. When you sit down and say, yeah, man, I sure will. believe I could do that, and I could do that and rob that store and get all kinds of money. And then that sin gets in your heart. Okay, let's talk about sin here a little bit tonight, temptation. And I'm glad for that scripture where it said the devil departed from him for a season. Now, let's talk first of all tonight, just for a minute, about the source of temptation. Where does it come from? This will help you. It might help you. You might not be as wicked and backslid as you think you are. It might be that the devil just working on you and working on you, and you need to plead the blood and just run him off. It might be. I mean, you say, Brother Danny, I must be the sorriest person in the church because I think ungodly thought. Listen, I think a lot of that comes from a person's past. If you were exposed to a whole lot of wickedness when you was little or growing up, that stuff never gets out of your head. And the devil can bring it back up to you. Keep bringing it back up years and years later. Some of y'all remember stuff you done and seen and when you was 12, 13 years old, and it's still in there somewhere. It's off your record, but it's still in that old sinful flesh. So don't think you're not saved or not right with God just because evil things come in your head. Now the problem is when you allow it or encourage it or live in such a way that just brings it on. Then you're sinning. But if you're doing your best and serving the Lord, and the devil just puts something in your mind like, okay, you get mad at work to somebody, and then this thought pops in your head, why don't you just slap him? Well, the Lord didn't put that in your mind. But everybody here, I guess most of you here, have thought stuff like that. Now me, I'm not a fighter. I mean, if somebody wants to hit me, I'll turn around and walk off. But I have thought stuff like that before. I thought of it, somebody ought to slap him. Not me, but somebody else. I wish somebody would. I got mad at the referee in the ball game. I did, and that was a sin, the way I felt about him for a while. And then I made myself go over and be real nice to him after the game was over and lied and told him he did a good job. No, I did. I told him I appreciate him. But anyway, this stuff here, this old flesh, I'm telling you, if you get mad, if you work with somebody, man, they if he says one more thing, as long as you say, Lord help me, Lord help me, Lord help me, give me a good attitude, you're all right. But when you act on it and you start acting on it, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The source of temptation is not God. The source of temptation is God gives the devil permission to tempt us. Somebody said one time, said, Lord must really have a lot of confidence in you, Brother Danny, for what he's allowed you. I said, now you can't blame all I've been through on the Lord, surely. I said, the devil will work in our life, and he'll work and mess your life up, and the devil work, but he can only go so far. God won't let him go so far. You know that. You know that's true. If the Lord just turned the devil loose and took down all the protection and pulled his spirit back, man, the devil would kill me right now. He'd kill every one of y'all. Anybody's trying to do right, he'd kill us right here. But the only reason God's got his hand on us and holding it back. So the Lord allows to the temptation. He allows I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to tell you this. He allows, he knows your load limit. He has a time limit. Has this ever happened to anybody? You've been in a situation, let's say. The devil's been tempting you, putting something in your head, you know. And if you were in the right, wrong place at that time, you'd really messed up. But somehow or another, God, in his mercy, kept you from being in that position. Or let something happen to keep you from it. Have you ever noticed that? That's the Lord taking care of us. When if it was up to us, we'd probably went ahead and done something stupid. Amen? And some of y'all nodding your head like you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's time when you're so weak, you say, buddy, if I had a hold of him right now, I'd choke him to death. You know, or I'd get drunk if I had. But by the time you get to where you really could get some beer or something, you've done calmed down and got your head straightened out. That's the Lord taking care of you. The Lord takes care of us like that. I'm glad he does. So he knows the limit. He knows your load limit. I've heard people say, I don't know how much more I can stand, Brother Danny. God does. You know, out here in the country, over around Lake James, about the country, they used to have, still do a lot, they have these bridges. They have these bridges, and it'll say, limit, 30 ton. Does that sound right? 30 tons? 30,000? 30,000 pound? Something like that. Does that sound like one of them old bridges? Well, let's just say it. Because the reason I said that is because we used to take kids out there to camp, that New Manna camp, and there's two or three old bridges, old bridges. And it'd say weight capacity. So I mean, them things is 100 years old. And we had a big trailways bus come from South Carolina. And I mean, it was a big trailway. That bus by itself weighed 30,000 pounds. And it has a load of kids and luggage and everything. And they got out there and they said, we can't cross this bridge. They said, there ain't no way this bus, it weighs 15,000 pounds more than that limit. And we said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, let's just tell all the kids to get off and just walk across and let the bus driver just drive it. And that way he'll be the only one that goes down in the river. That's right. That's what I told them, and that's what they did. And it went right across there and made it, because I ain't going to drown a bunch of kids. That was an awful nice bus to go down in that river. But that thing had a limit. And usually it'll say 30,000 pounds, but it'd hold 50. They don't want to get sued or something, so they put it down lower. And that's the way the Lord looks at us. The Lord says, now old Jeremy there, he's a strong one, but he can only take so much. And the devil's beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him. And he's crying out, oh God, help me. And the devil's beating him and beating him. And finally the Lord says, all right, back off of him. Leave him alone. That's as much as he can take. He can't handle no more. And I'm glad God's like that, y'all. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah. Thank God. I'm glad he looks down and he sees little Danny. Or he sees you. And sometimes he'll just push the devil back and say, that's enough right there. He can't take no more than that. Amen. Haven't you felt the Lord just push him off of you a time or two? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Now listen, y'all can talk. You can talk if you want to. If somebody wants to tell a story about that without being too plain, I mean, you know, you can only say so much when you're talking about stuff like this. Then help yourself. Okay, I'm glad he knows our load limit. He not only knows our load limit, he knows our time limit. And the Lord knows how to deliver. The Bible said the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And I'm glad that he does. Amen. Remember this verse. Everybody remember this verse. How did Jesus fight the devil? When the devil came to Jesus, he fought him with Scripture. That's your weapon. You don't fight him with your willpower. You say, that's why I'm resisting the devil. You can't do it like that. You can't do it. I've tried to do that. Lord, help! You got to say, there hath no temptation taken me that such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Everybody ought to learn that verse. Learn that verse. And buddy, when the devil's on you, is that there hath, I don't think I got it exactly right, but I got most of it. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And you quote that verse and say, Lord, you said that you wouldn't let a temptation come on me that I couldn't bear. That's why a lot of people say, well, I just couldn't resist. That's a lie. God don't let nothing come on you. You can't resist. You can, but you got to do it through Him. You got to do it through the Lord's power. You can't. It ain't your willpower. You don't resist the devil of your willpower. You ain't strong enough. So everybody here, make up your mind. You're going to learn that verse and quote it. If you have a temptation for alcohol, learn some verses. Woe to him that puts a bottle to his neighbor's lip. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. That's the way to fight the devil. When the devil puts a desire in there for alcohol, say, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you have a temptation to gossip, ladies, men, whoever, learn you some. The tongue is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. A talebearer, where there's no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Where there's no wood, the fire goeth out. Get you some verses. So I think I'm better than everybody. Listen to this. Proud heart. God hates a proud heart. A proud look. Pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit before fall. everything. Self-righteousness. You think, boy, I'm all right with everybody. You just remember this. There's none good, no, not one. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All men are sinners, including me and including you. Fornication. Look, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Get you some verses and learn them. Look, you say, well, I hate my wife. Get you a verse. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You say, well, I hate my husband. Get you some Bible verses. And the wife see that she reverent her husband and honor him, esteem him, high. Put him up there. Reverence him. Get you a verse. The only way you can fight the devil is with the scripture. That's your sword, people. That's your sword. You don't fight the devil with your willpower. You don't fight temptation with just how big and strong you are. You fight him with the sword. And right there is your sword. That's your weapon right there. That's probably maybe the most important thing I'll say tonight. You fight temptation with this. You don't fight temptation with how smart you are. You say, well, I believe there's people that honestly think if we had everybody in the ghettos got education, that it'd solve the crime problem. Listen, that boy that killed them people in that theater the other night, he had education. All education does is just help them to be smarter to sin, figure out new ways to sin. The human heart without God is wicked, and it's depraved, and it's desperately wicked. The heart is. Mine is, yours is, everybody's is. They all got talking about that guy, and I'm not going to get on that again tonight. I know you've heard it till you're sick of it. But did y'all see him in court? He was either on something or acting like he was. And he's smart enough to act like he was. I don't know if you can get drugs. Can you get sedatives when you're getting ready to go to court like that? Can they? I've never heard of nobody being able to get drugs. But I tell you one thing. He is either on it. He was like, yeah. Is that legal? You can't do that, can you? Dope somebody up one hand. If I was him, I'm smarter than he is. If I was him, I'd be going with spit running down my... That's what I'd do. And I'd get me a nice home somewhere in one of these homes where people ain't real crazy and live it up and have three meals a day rather than go to prison. If I was him, that's what I'd do. So that's what David did. He slobbered and spittle run down his jaw. Who said something? Well, I said, that's what his Lord is going to try. Absolutely. Well, that's the only hope he's got. Yeah, that's why they said, because somebody said the other night, one guy got on there and they said, now he's accused of this, but this is not a slam dunk case. And I said, man, I'm telling you, that shows we're in America. If this ain't a slam dunk case, right. I mean, everybody in there saw him. They caught him again. He wrote the letter, sold the cops for his apartment. But if this ain't a slam dunk case, if you can't prove that man's guilty, there's something wrong with the court system. If that man can't be convicted of being guilty, there's something wrong with the court system. And I like Carrie. You know, Carrie and my daughter, they're gone. They left this season, by the way. I'll tell you, you know, y'all know about them going to Nashville. And Carrie told me, she said, Daddy, she said, this crazy stuff, she said, I think if you're smart enough to commit a crime, that you're smart enough to pay for it. And she's right. I agree with that. If he's smart enough to do all that, he's smart enough to pay for it. He ain't too crazy. He's demonized. He's energized by demons. And he got disconnected with reality. But an insane person... Let's see if I can think of somebody that y'all know. There's people that we consider insane. They don't even know how to load a gun. All you got to do now is prove he didn't know what he was doing at the time of that crime. And that's easy for a crooked lawyer to do. But I'm telling you, man, if man's smart enough to do it, he's smart enough to pay for it. If you're smart enough to steal $10, you're smart enough to put it back. Amen? Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. No, there's a demonic spirit in that area, there's no doubt about it, because it's 13 miles from Columbine, and when one more dies, it'll be 13 people killed.
Brother, that guy also spent some time at Virginia Tech, so he's associated with Columbine.
Yeah, ain't that something? Isn't that something? Did I tell y'all about that spirit stuff that I studied about here not long ago? I'm not sure it's true, but By the way, they were saying, I watched some of those guys on the Jimmy Swaggart program the other day, and they were saying that there is a spirit on that movie. That Dark Knight Ride, there's a spirit. That's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And Heath Ledger, the Joker, killed himself. OD. And now that there's a spirit on that movie and on that series, because somebody said, well, you ever watched Batman? The Batman I remember was Lord, that was the dumbest. You had to be about on a second grade level to enjoy the Batman that we used to watch. You know, he's in a holy pews, Robin. You know, like that. He's a holy songbook, Robin. What are we going to do? You know, it was dumb. I mean, that was a dumb show. And evidently, Batman has evolved since back in them days. It'd be zap, poof, pow, bing, 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 and then right off in the Batmobile. It was so dumb. It was dumb. That was a dumb show, buddy. I don't know how it ever got popular. But this now is demonic. It's the demonic spirits on this movie. And you better stay away from it. In this
in the 50s and 60s.
Oh.
And that's preachers in there pitched a fit about it. I heard this the other day on the radio station. Preachers pitched a fit about it in the 60s and told the church members not to go to Bible
college. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you about this spirit stuff and I'll stop. I mentioned this before. The state seal of California. The seal, the great, beautiful seal of the state of California, is a warrior-like knight, going like this, looking over the bay, and it's like from 1700s or something, and it's a man in a woman's garment, or the other way around, woman in a man's garment. Woman in a man's garment. That's a steel seal of the state of California. And it's overlooking the San Francisco Bay. Now back in the 1800s, in 1849, when they found gold in San Francisco, thousands of men went there to find gold. The 49ers, that's where the 49ers come from. And they say, I'm not saying this is right, but I wouldn't doubt it. I'm not saying this is right, but I wouldn't doubt it. They said that those men, it was so bad there in California during those days, they'd go there and stay 6 months, a year at a time, mining gold. Thousands of men. And they'd work all week and take a weekend off, get drunk, have parties and stuff, no women around. So some of the men, two or three of them, would dress up in a woman's clothes in San Francisco in the 1800s and come out and dance and entertain the men, and they laughed, and of course, you know, things happened that wasn't supposed to happen. Immorality got started. And it was no accident, they're saying, that spirit got in that area back then. Just like there's a demon spirit that's over certain areas, like in the Bible, there's one big demonic spirit that's over. That spirit of homosexuality was over San Francisco and has been ever since. Now, I can't prove that, but I wouldn't doubt that one bit. And it started way, way back. That spirit, something has to open a door for that spirit to come in, and then that spirit comes in and locks down on that place. And I'm telling you, San Francisco ain't no place to raise your kids. You know the best place to raise your kids? As far out in the country as you can get. That's about every city's got a spirit. If you don't believe it, travel. First time I ever went to Los Angeles, when I got off of the plane, I felt it's culture shock, brother. I mean, you can feel the difference in the air. It's like you're in another world. And I was talking about up in West Virginia, up where my family lives. Years ago they had all them drug busts. Where my family lives, Kermit, West Virginia, and I hate to say this, it's embarrassing for me to say it. That little bitty town of Kermit, West Virginia, the whole town ain't as long as from here to the sign out there at the end of the road, a quarter, half a mile. The whole town ain't that long. And there's 11 bars in that town. Every other building's a bar because the river come right down through here. And over here is Kentucky, and here's West Virginia. And everybody over here in Kentucky, these counties were dry, and all them guys were working the coal mine all week long, and they'd want to get drunk and gamble, so they'd come across right into West Virginia, and it was like Las Vegas. I remember when we was little kids, Mom said, "We ain't going there. That place, they was getting shot and selling drugs in that little bitty town." And you can go home, look it up tonight. Punch in on your computer the pill-popping capital of America, and Kermit, West Virginia pops up. I'm kidding, half the people live there. And it might be that spirit. Because Carrie asked me, they're having a castle reunion next Saturday night, and they're begging us to come, begging me to come. And I tell you what, I'd go if I didn't have to preach. I'm preaching up in Virginia, but I'd go and try to witness to a bunch of them. Because my cousin that sings country music, Rick, he's going to be there doing the entertainment. And so I don't know what's going to be. It's liable to get rough. But he sings that Porch Light song, and he wrote that song, Tim McGraw, that barbecue stain on his white T-shirt, and he's going to be there doing the singing. But he's a Christian. I mean, he's doing good now. He sang a song about abortion, but they won't even play on the radio. It's so straight. Rick Farrell's his name. You can see him on the internet. And all his songs about railroad tracks and mountains and rivers, because that's all they are. But that spirit of dope and drugs got in that area, and that's where all this Percocet, Oxycontin stuff I preach about. Thank God I didn't have to grow up there. I thank God. Carrie saying, "Daddy, my daddy's brothers, every one of them had alcohol problems. Every one of them. And everybody up there has some kind of drug or alcohol problem. My daddy's an alcoholic. All his brothers are alcoholic. It's only by the grace of God that something like that didn't happen to me. I know what happened to me. I got saved. I got saved. That's why I didn't. And I ain't never been drunk. Ain't never done no drugs. Glory to God. But I tell you what, this old wicked flesh would do it in a second if I'd have been raised there and didn't know God and didn't know right. There's no telling where I'd be right now." It's in Revelation. Sorcery. There's sorcery. The word sorcery in Revelation can be translated pharmakeia, pharmacy, or drug. Yeah. And there's a spirit in drugs. We're out of time, y'all. Somebody else want to say something? We're supposed to be talking about temptation. But I believe there's a spirit on that Batman movie, and there's a spirit on our city of Morganton. And the bigger the city, the worse it is. New York, would you rather raise your kids in Dyersville or New York? I mean, that's a stupid question. Amen. Asheville's got a spirit. There ain't no doubt about it. Asheville's got a spirit. There's one place I've never been to, but they say you can feel the devil when you walk in there. And I've never been to that. I've been to all the big cities, and that's New Orleans. And everybody I've ever seen has been, like, if you go to Mardi Gras, there's a spirit in that place, buddy. Bad. But that San Francisco stuff and this West Virginia pill popping stuff, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. But anyway, I don't know how we got off on all that. Our time's up. Anybody else want to say something before we go?